senior writer for Sports Illustrated, Mr. Pat Forty. Pat, I am a Bama alum, and I am going to make the statement that Bama fans had the worst weekend and feel the worst after this weekend. Anybody else even come close to Alabama fans of feeling bad after this weekend?
North Carolina. I mean,
oh, yeah.
They just paid Bill Belichick $10 million to come in and absolutely flop in his first game. I mean, yeah, Alabama fans should feel bad, no doubt about it. But given the anticipation around what Belichick was supposed to deliver there and what he did deliver, that was a massive flop.
Pat, with Texas and Bama looking the way they did over the weekend, is Georgia still the cream of the crop for the SEC?
We'll see. You know, I mean, I always wait until you've seen somebody play another Power Four team before really deciding, you know, the full hierarchy on things. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, if from that standpoint, I'd put LSU as the cream of the crop right now because they went to Death Valley and won against a Power Four opponent there. But if you're Georgia, you're sitting there saying, I'm not scared of Alabama and I'm not scared of Tennessee. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, Texas. And I would feel good about Georgia's situation where they are. I thought, you know, from what I saw bits and pieces of the game. Gunnar Stockton played well, did exactly what they probably hoped he would do. The defense looks really good again. And I'd be pretty happy right now if I were a Georgia fan.
Pat Forty joining us here on the morning shift. Pat, like what happened in Texas, in Ohio, in Columbus, I guess I should say, with Ohio State and Texas, with Arch, look, there's no doubt he's been overhyped, but has it been, you know, over projected how good he can be? Or is that opening start a little bit of a combination between how good Ohio State's defense is and how Sark kind of didn't help him out in any way, shape, or form with the play calling?
Yeah, you know, I think there were probably multiple factors involved, and I think the last couple things you said there probably are the biggest. I was at Ohio State practice mid-August, and the defense totally dominated, and it shocked me. I was like, oh, my gosh, Ohio State's offense is terrible. Well, maybe not. Maybe it's just Ohio State's defense is really good, and their secondary is excellent. But what's really impressed me, they've got new guys on the front line that are playing extremely well. So I think Ohio State reloaded extremely well. I think hiring Matt Patricia was a master stroke, and that unit looks really, really good. Also, I agree that I think Sark called a just strangely bad game. I just don't understand, you know, what he was trying to do with Arch there. You know, I thought they tried, all right, the first play of the game was a little waggle roll, and you got, you know, multiple layers of guys going crossing the field. That's a pretty easy play, and he just didn't handle that well. That was a bad throw. And then after that, I thought they gave him a bunch of hard plays, and he really didn't do well with those and seemed confused by the defense that he was looking at. And so then I'm thinking, when are they going to run him? When are they going to just get him some bubble screens to just get him going? And it took him a long time to do that. And by then, I think, you know, the Ohio State was fully confident and Texas was starting to panic. And then I thought Sark called a bad game in the red zone too.
Well, I do want to pull on the Arch Manning thread a little bit longer because, you know, he had a few bright spots late in the game. What do you expect out of him the rest of the season?
Yeah, I'm certainly not giving up on Arch by any stretch. I think one game against a good opponent on the road is not the time to do that. And it did actually remind me, because going back a ways, obviously, but like John Elway, when he was a rookie in the NFL, he had a ton of bad games to start. And he just looked like he wasn't going to figure it out. And then when he figured it out, hey, became one of the great quarterbacks in history. Joe Montana at Notre Dame would be terrible for three quarters and then pull out games in the fourth. And that was what Arch almost did. So, you know, if you give him more of an old school learning curve instead of, you know, the modern day expectation of, well, his name is Manning and he's 20 years old, he's going to be brilliant. I'm I still think he's going to be a very good quarterback. Now, you know, we got to see it. Obviously, his accuracy was puzzling to me. It was bad, especially on the crossing routes, both directions. But, I you know, that guy didn't have as many people recruiting him as hard as he did if he can't play.
Pat, we do this thing on Wednesday called Which One Wednesday, where we throw a couple of options out and we make a decision. I want you to go back to Friday with me, if you will. We've talked a lot about Georgia Tech. Obviously, we're in the city of Atlanta. But I thought Auburn had a good day as well. Which one of those teams on Friday do you think should be the happiest about the way they look, Georgia Tech or Auburn?
Well, definitely both of them, because those were great wins and pretty dominant wins once Georgia Tech stopped fumbling the ball. Yeah. But I would go with Auburn, because they started the season with Hugh Freeze on a hot seat. I wasn't sold as John Jackson Arnold as a quarterback, SEC caliber quarterback, but they stepped up and won that game on the road and pretty well controlled it throughout. So against a team that some people thought could win the Big 12. So I thought that was a really impressive performance there. Still got to show me they can throw the ball a little bit better, but a great, great start for Auburn.
Pat, I don't know if you saw it, but Mike Gundy kind of called out Oregon with the amount of money they spend, and then Dan Lanning fires back. What? And then, you know, in the same day, Brian Kelly takes a shot at Dabo. Why are coaches suddenly just taking shots across the bow at each other, almost like they were in a professional boxing or UFC arena?
Yeah, it kind of feels like that, doesn't it? I mean, it is interesting that it's become a mouthy profession, which is good for our business, I guess.
That's true.
you know, but it's fascinating. Gundy always has something to say. And the hilarious thing with Gundy, you know, like, oh, they're spending so much money, we don't have any. Is he familiar with T. Boone Pickens, whose name is on everything at that school, and built everything Gundy wanted and the other coaches wanted for a long time? I mean, Oklahoma State would perhaps have the facilities of a American Athletic Conference school if not for one guy who gave him a lot of money. Well, Phil Knight's given Oregon a lot of money. Congratulations to them. Instead of sitting around complaining about it, go find a new T. Boone Pickens. That's what I would say to Gundy. So, you know, it is fascinating to listen to these guys, though, bicker back and forth.
Well, I want to talk a little bit further too, Pat. I know we only got you for a couple more minutes. The whole Dabo at Clemson thing, and I asked you starting off, you know, who should feel the worst, but I will say this, there seems to be a feeling amongst Clemson fans that there's like nothing you can do about it. Obviously, Dabo's not going anywhere, but they've had a hard time winning games like this, you know, in the past few years, and that dynasty of theirs seems to be, you know, something from the past.
Yeah, and his basically his program building is something from the past. I know that, you know, there was a small to-do made because they brought in like four transfers, one of whom played and played well in that game, but he still hasn't really embraced the transfer philosophy. I didn't really love Clemson coming into this season anyway. Some people wanted to pick him number one. I thought that was crazy. If you look at their season last year, they lost to every good team they played except SMU in the ACC championship, who they beat on a 56-yard field goal on the last play. Otherwise, they were pretty soundly beaten by everybody. South Carolina was close, but that lost that at home. Louisville handled them at home. Georgia dominated them. Texas beat them easily. So I didn't look at that team and say, oh, they're all going to suddenly be way better and be capable of competing for a national championship. And they looked kind of like I thought they would look in that game. So, you know, a loss to LSU is by no means disqualifying. They could still end up winning the ACC. But I do think that Clemson's best days remain behind them until proven otherwise. And I'm not sure they have the formula to get back there.
Well, based on that, kind of going off that real quick, Florida State or Miami, I'll say this, Florida State, Miami, Georgia Tech, which one's the biggest threat to Clemson for the ACC title after week one?
I think Miami. I was impressed just with defensively and the way Carson Beck fit in there. I thought they looked quite good most of the game. They seized up a little bit in the fourth quarter, but I'm going to give Notre Dame credit for that. but they were the hungrier team, and then they executed when they had to. So I think what Miami showed was what everybody needed to see from Miami going into this season. They're tougher. They're still super athletic. Looks like they're going to be able to move the ball and score. Defense looks great, and I would put them at the top of the ACC class right now, but I was super impressed with Florida State as well.
He is senior writer for Sports Illustrated, Mr. Pat 40. You can find him on the X at @ByPat40. Always appreciate it, man. Hopefully we can catch up again soon.
All right, my pleasure.